Hey, how are you all? Hey, didn't Jonathan House and our team do well this morning? They did an awesome job. I always love it. Jonathan, just wave over here real quick, would you? All of our team, wave over here. Here's what I love. Some of you don't know, Jonathan House is actually Dr. Jonathan House, and I got to be Jonathan's youth pastor. I don't look that old, I know, but for years as he was growing up, and it's always fun when you see young men desire to go into the ministry, and Dr. Jonathan House is actually the pastor, as James shared earlier, of Life's Journey Baptist Church, and they meet right after us in this very room, and so I said, man, can you help us? He's had lots of experience leading worship, and so he did that. So we're so glad to have them. Hey, this morning, I know that if you've applied for a job recently, you'll know, or maybe you don't know, that it's much different now to do it than when perhaps your mom and dad did it or some of us did it. Used to, it really was, where you came to a place, you showed up for a job, and you went in and shook hands with someone, you sat down, you actually had an interview. You talked to people face-to-face. Well, now they don't really do that. You all know that oftentimes resumes are just done electronically. Everything is done electronically. You never really get to see face-to-face with people. And what happens is that you send it in, and some machine or some computer ranks you where you're going to come in terms of where the application. I want to say this morning, first of all, welcome to River Bluff, and especially to our fathers. Thank you for coming today. I do know something about every father in this room. We don't have a perfect one in this room. And if you're like me, you're still trying to figure out the whole parenting thing and how to be a father. But I was reading on this on a website. It was like theperfectdad.com or something like that, and people were like what it would look like if you were applying to be the perfect dad, and people were kind of talking what a perfect dad would be, and so as if it were in an application form. And I wanted to share with you, I learned something about applications these days and about resumes, that when you turn them in, they're actually something that's going on called white fonting. Do you know what white fonting is? It's where a program is actually reading your resume, and it is actually looking for words in your resume that actually matches the job description. And so people have figured out how to sometimes get around that, and so that they'll get the right wording to maybe just get bumped up to the next tier of maybe being in the top list of those to be interviewed for the job, to find the perfect job. And so people have learned to white font, and white font is to simply add words that you know that they're looking for to get the job. White fonting is to take perhaps, and they've had it as many in different ways, that some people have taken the whole job description and put it in the margin of their resume for you to read it outright. You cannot see it, but when you put it through and the technology reads it, it finds those words, and it would perhaps bump you up. There's some drawback in it, in that if somebody should copy your resume, sometimes the white font comes out, and so it looks like you have cheated. And so, obviously, that would not do well. What I love about what we're doing this morning is we're beginning our series, not beginning our series on To Boldly Grow, but this morning I think it's only appropriate that we are actually talking about what it would be like to grow spiritually in the Father's love. And I want you to know this, that as we would say this morning, there are no perfect fathers. If there were a father that was applying for the job to be your perfect father, there is none better than the Father in heaven, who is the perfect father. And I would want to say and suggest as we begin, as we look at God's word, that how he comes and approaches us to understand what kind of father he is, he does not use white fonting. He's not trying to put subliminal words in. Actually, if there was a color for what he was going to say, it's in red. And the red words are very, very clear to say, I don't want you to miss as, and I don't want to sound irreverent when I say this, as God says, I'm applying to be your father. Now, please understand, he is the heavenly father. Whether you call him Abba, Daddy, what, he is the father. but actually he desires to be the father that you would call the perfect father. This morning we are continuing on our study of To Boldly Grow. And let me just ask you, just be honest and don't even be embarrassed. Did anybody go to the Watch the Grass Grow website this week? Anybody? Me neither. Nobody? Hey, listen, I know some people are like fibbing in here because I know you went. I went to it one time just to see what the weather was out there. But if you're new, we don't watch grass grow at River Bluff. We are in growing season, but we were talking about how sometimes it's a slow process. This guy just has a camera on his grass, and people all over the country, the world, actually check to see what his grass looks like. And it's not a very big yard, but people are going online. We've been talking about to boldly grow, and this morning we're talking about to boldly grow in the Father's love and what that looks like. I love this story. Have you all met or read this story? You might have seen it. This picture went viral this week. Jason, I'm trying to remember what his name is. His dad, the dad's name is Jason, but Jason Gaylor is the dad. Brittany Gaylor tweeted this: "My dad walked me to school on the very first day, and today he walked me to school on the very last day." And the article came out, the Texas father and daughter walked to school on the first day of kindergarten, last day of school. And what had happened was, is Jason, the dad, had been going through some old pictures, and he recognized this year, her senior year, that he had a picture of him walking Brittany to school when she was 5 years old, first day of kindergarten. And they decided that what they would do is they would just reenact that. And so on the very last day of school at Alfred High School in Texas, Jason walked his daughter, and as he was walking his daughter to school on the last day, he just simply put life into perspective for himself, and he said, "It seems like it was just yesterday that I was walking that little girl to kindergarten, and how fast that goes." And he said, if this picture, and it went out 63,000 times in one day, 63,000 people retweeted that picture right there. He said, "If there was anything I'd like to say, I'd like for people just to know life is short. It goes very quickly. And to remember how important it is to take every day as you have it." I would suggest that there's something else. I would suggest that there's a father that begins the journey and a father that walks to the very end. And I want you to know that as we look at growing in the Father's love, and as we continue to talk about what it looks like to grow in that relationship, just know this, that there's a Father that wherever you are on the timeline, and I get this, you guys, some of us are even in this room right now saying, "I don't understand the whole growing in God thing," and that's okay. Then there's some other spiritual giants in this room that you've been doing it for a long, long time. What I want you to know, and Jason and Brittany are a good example, is that wherever you are, there's a father that is walking with you, whether you're in kindergarten or whether you're in the graduate level class of life, and you're moving. As we've been talking about to boldly go, not where any man has gone, but to boldly grow, perhaps where you have never gone before. And so as we've done that, we've been talking about what it means to grow in our relationship with Christ. And we said this, our definition has been this: it means to increase in your knowledge of Jesus, your love for Him, your obedience to Him, and to actually be more like Him. We've said with the hundreds of people that come to both services that some that might be just very strange. It might be very strange. I don't think it is, but do you mind me saying that? I think that if you were to say to me at 17 that I could be more like Jesus, I would for certain say, I think you are, that would be weird to me. At 19, when I met him, if you were to say it to me, I would begin to kind of get that. And now that I'm older, let me just tell you, I want that. I want it so bad. I want to be more like him. So if it's weird to you, it's okay. I want you to know you're safe for it to be weird in here. But you're sitting with a group of people in a church that would say, that's really what we want to be as a church. We want to be more Christ-like and more like Him. If that is not you today, I would ask you if you would ponder it for a moment and perhaps say, God, I don't know what that means, but I'm willing to know, to grow in you. We said that growing comes from a bold invitation from God Himself. It also comes with some very bold expectations. If you did decide to grow and to be more like Christ, And it comes from a very bold decision. Now, let me ask you, we've been doing this several Sunday mornings now. What's your decision been on growing? And are you? And how is that going? I got to tell you, we talked a couple of weeks ago about when that's easy to do and when it's hard. And we kind of said this, that the Bible kind of makes it clear that sometimes it's easier to do when our back's against the wall. And I was just honest with you, pretty transparent to say, I'm a pretty good prayer when my back's against the wall. Let me be scared, tired, upset, frustrated, any number of things. And I'll pray earnestly. But we said we have to decide that sometimes growing, to recognize that God is not only the God of the wilderness, but also of the green pastures. And do you remember what it said? Be careful in the United States of America. It didn't really say that. But it says this. Be careful when we have everything and we begin to think, it's because of me. It's because I did do the right words on the resume. And I didn't even white font. I think people just pretty much knew I'm the guy. And I'm equipped. And I'm probably the best choice. And so everything I have is because I have worked hard, man. I put my pants on, my boots, and I've gone to work. And I've got scars that prove it. And it's because of me. And the scripture says this. Be very, very careful to understand that it is not because of you, but because you have been blessed. And so we've talked about that in understanding that growing is actually an aspect of God's bold invitation with expectations, invitation, and a decision. So this morning, as we talk about to boldly grow in the Father's love and how appropriate on Father's Day, how do you do that? And let me suggest three things. It means to grow in our love for God. It means to grow in our love for others. And then it actually comes to what some find more natural than anything, and that is love for yourself. And some would be like, wow, let's just do three first because I'm okay with that. I'm trying hard to survive for myself. But I would like for us to see that the love of the Father, understanding His love, impacts how you relate to Him, how you relate to others, and how you relate to yourself. I would say this, that to do it to do those three things, to boldly grow in the Father's love, you'll do it. And I'm going to give you a little insight about River Bluff. And I hope that you've seen this, but you didn't know you saw it, perhaps. But every Sunday morning and every staff meeting, every deacon's meeting, and every elder's meeting, we begin this way. We talk, first of all, about where we've seen God do some great things. We don't begin with negative stuff. We begin with where we've seen God do great things. This is a great thing that we're all here this morning. But we also determined this, that when it comes to knowing God and knowing other people, we find it more easy to love and care for people when we know them. And so we say this every day, know a name and know a story. And the idea behind that is this, is that when you know a name and you know a story, you are more likely to care about somebody or the situation. You know this already, that until we know a name and know a story, if we don't know anything about anybody or anything else, if you don't know it, all you have to go on are two things, appearance and behavior. That's all you've got. If you don't know their name and you don't know the story, all you've got is how they look externally to you and whatever that they're doing that's just crazy nuts. And you're like, wow. And so that's why you get to sometimes look at people and say, I don't really like them all that much. I mean, look how they're dressed or look what they look like or look at that. And then we jump and say, look at their behavior. And we begin to judge people based on what they are doing or have done. And that may be accurate sometimes, but let me tell you, I've learned in life that sometimes you can miss out on a whole lot of things by judging, by not knowing a name or knowing a story. And so this morning, as we begin, I want us to see three passages of scriptures. And as we begin to talk about loving, growing in our love for God, for others, and ourselves, that we would consider what God's Word says. And let me begin with Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, all the way back in the Old Testament, as we begin to talk about the love for God, Deuteronomy 6 said this, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and here comes a commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. 1 Thessalonians, the scripture says, my God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus, bring us to you very soon, And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. And 2 Peter says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace of and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And if you noticed in that in those passages, you guys, it's all about growing up, growing up, growing up in what it would look like to become more like God. And the very first one is love for God. You recognize that in Deuteronomy, he just flat says, this is a commandment and just do it. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard to just do because you're being told to do it. So could I just ask you, how would you do that? God says, I am telling you and I'm commanding you to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. How do you do that? Now, let me ask you, just for those who are desiring to grow, how can you do that? How can you do that? That's where Noah name and Noah story comes into play. It may be hard just to hear that. You might want to say, like, what would that look like? What rules do I do? What checklist? What boxes do I check that would make me love God more? I want you to hear how Jesus did it. This is in red letters, actually, in your Bible in Matthew 22. Do you remember what happened here? A bunch of religious guys came to Jesus and they said, hey, real quick, sum up what it is that you're trying to say. Sum it up for us and listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says this. This should have been in red letters. I should have made it in red letters. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So you guys, really, this is backing up to the door jam in your bedroom or in your closet or in your wall where you get to say, how tall am I right here? How tall am I? How tall am I right here? I'm this tall. I've grown this much. Jason must have said it to that little girl at 5 years old that walked to kindergarten on the very first day when he looked over at her through tears as he walked to Alford High School, her senior year, her last day, and said, honey, you have grown so much. This passage is asking, how much have you grown? And so as you look at love for God, he says to do it, but how do you do it? And the idea is this, that if you desire to grow in God, you must know his name and you must know his story. It's interesting, if you ever want to do a great study, look how many names there are for the Father. I mean, there's hundreds. There really are hundreds. But if you want to do a really concise study, do a study on how often he is referred to as the Father. It's awesome. Let me tell you who it's awesome for. To find the name of the Father that is dealing with you as a perfect Father would probably be more to someone in this room who at some time realized about their own earthly experience that their father was not perfect. We already agreed. There's not a one here. None of us. And so some are in this room and actually bear the scars of the imperfection of a father that did the wrong thing or the father that didn't do what he should have done. And so he has experienced that loss and that grief. I want to suggest that whether you have the father that could apply for perfectdad.com or a father that you would say, I still struggle, man, with all of that. Understand that there's a father in heaven that calls you his child and his daughter and his son. And to know that and to know the story will help you love him more. Now, some have got such a poor view of their own earthly dad that it has impacted your love for a heavenly father. And I've got to say that if you are unable to go to our heavenly father and recognize that he is love and that he is good and that he intends good. If you cannot do that, you're in need of healing. You're in need of healing. Healing of your view of who God is. And that will begin only as you fall in love with him. It will happen as you know his name and know his story. It makes it easier to love him. Secondly, love for others. Look what the scripture says. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow. Could I suggest, and maybe not much in here, because we're church people, I get that. But more than likely, this one may be the toughest of all. You're telling me that I've got to love other people. And I'm telling you, I'm not saying that, God's saying that. That he says, I desire for you to grow in this. Look at this. Not only grow, but to overflow in this. Some would say this, I love God. It's the guy next to me that I don't like at all. And so I've got it separated. And I don't know if you've seen this or not. You won't see it around River Bluff very much. But have you ever noticed there are some church people that love God and hate people? Really, seriously, have you ever seen that? They're just really crazy. It's crazy to watch them. Because they're usually doing something for God, but they're bummed out the whole time. They really don't like people. They love God, and they want you to know they love God. It's him that I don't like, or her that I don't like. And so what happens is we actually begin to think that we can love God, and we can just simply be judgmental, hate people, be critical of them. And my friends, the Father in heaven says, make no mistake of it, a sure sign of your growing is going to be that you and I love each other and we're in relationship, but you are in relationship with each other. Now, the only thing is that that's hard to do. But can I tell you what makes it easier? It makes it easier when you know a name and you know a story. When you know a name and know a story, it becomes easier. When you see people as God sees them. Can you turn that volume up just for me a little bit? There we go, thank you. You know, if you want to grow in that area, begin to practice loving people. And if you have a struggle with that, begin by simply knowing their name and knowing their story. I want to apologize because I know I've told this story so many times. But one of the very most impressive times in my heart that helped me remember to know a name and know a story, that I can apply the gospel. When I was a chaplain at Baylor Medical Center during seminary, it was a huge hospital. My job was to walk through the hospital all day long and meet people. And lots of crisis, lots of good things as well. But on one particular day, and if I've told this story, it's still, just bear with me. I was called about 3 o'clock to the ICU. And it was because there was a young man that had been in an accident and he was in a coma. His family was outside. I came in as I began to talk to the nurse. The nurse was explaining to me that this young man more than likely was not going to survive. His family is outside. And so at some point, we will be breaking the news that this young man's going to be dying. But you may remember the story. There was a man at the end of the ICU. He was actually a custodian. And he was buffing the floor in the ICU. And as he was buffing the floor, he was using one of those big buffers, and it had this long cord, and it was going all the way down the whole length, longer than this building almost, of a cord to plug in. And as he was buffing it, this cord was running down through. As I was speaking to the nurse, I was standing here, and she was standing here, and that cord went right between our feet. And I noticed that while I was talking about something so important as the life of this young man, I noticed that that cord kept hitting this nurse. And she was trying to explain to me on this chart what was going on. And this cord kept, and I looked down and this man was yanking this cord. And we weren't standing on the cord. We were talking about life and death. You pardon me, sir, but this is very important. He's pulling this. And it keeps hitting the nurse. And man, I start getting bowed up on this deal. I'm wanting to say, look, hey, you know what? This is important. I wasn't belittling what he was doing. It was important as well. But I just felt, how rude is that? And why would he do that? And why would he not stop doing it? And so finally, we stepped over away from the side and we continued to talk about what was the most important thing in the world, we thought. We finished up. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 5 o'clock, I was due to work the night shift all night long as well. At about 5:30, all the other chaplains had gone home. If there's a death in the hospital or anything critical, they call the person that's on duty. They call me. They said, hey, come on up to this floor, particular floor, and there is a death, and you're needed in this room. So I said, okay. So I went up there. And some of you will remember this story, but man, it is vivid to me, and a lesson in my spiritual walk as clear as it was yesterday. I walked to the room, to the floor, and as I got to the hall, I looked for the room, and as I was walking there, I went to the nurse's station, and I said, hey, real quick, can you give me an update? They said, yes. It was an 18-year-old young man. He passed away. He just died. There is extended family. I mean, a lot of people in that room right now. He's in that room right there, and they're having a very, very difficult time. The young man died of testicular cancer, and so if you would go on in there. I said, I sure will. And so I walked, and just as I was walking away from the desk, the young lady said at the desk at the nurse's station, by the way, it's an employee's son. And I said, thank you so much. And I walked in, and I didn't even have to get to the door before I could hear the wailing of this family. It was one of those that you go, man, I wish I didn't have to go in there. I don't want to go in there. And I went in there, and I'll never forget this picture. This family, this boy was loved, man. He had extended family, a Hispanic family that had come a long ways from all over. The dad and mom lived in the city, and they filled this room. There were people around the walls, people, and they were wailing, and they were touching him, and they were hugging each other. And so I just simply stepped into the room. As I stepped into the room, I was just standing there and just praying, God. And I saw this young man, and he was just lying there. You could tell that he had just passed away. But I looked around, and I was trying to picture who was who. Who's the mother, and who's the aunt, and who's the uncle? And then I saw one man, and his head was bent over. This is the bed. He had his head down like this, and he was rubbing his cheek on this boy's face. And he was wailing, and he was crying. And as I was looking at him, I was thinking, that must be the dad. And he was talking. He was just hugging his son and caressing his face. And I stood there long enough until I just realized who's who in this room. And then right then, this man's face came away from his son's face. And he looked around. You know who it was. It was that custodian. When he lifted his face like this, I said, that's him. And I recognized that, you know, when he was buffing the floor at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he was buffing the floor, and we were dealing with something else that was extremely big. But I just had this feeling that he wasn't even thinking about us or about our stuff or about anything else. You know what I think he was doing? I think he's buffing the floor. And he was thinking about his precious 18-year-old son just around the corner. And I got to tell you, when he lifted his face and looked around, I just said, God, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I misread that situation. But knowing the story and knowing his name, I want to tell you, if he were here today and he lost his son, he could beat me half to death with that cord. I don't even care. You know why? Because I know why he's who he is now. My friends, if you desire to grow, you'll grow when you fall in love with a God who you know his name and story. Read it and become familiar. Secondly, that you would love others. And you'll do that by knowing a name and knowing a story. And lastly, Jonathan, why don't you come up? Let's have our team come up. We'll finish. To love yourself. Now, some would say, that's just a weird one, you guys. That's a weird one. I love Kennecott Camp. You know Kennecott Camp. I love Joe White, man. Joe White has come to First Baptist and spoken to thousands of our students. And I love them. But you know one of the things I love about Kennecott Camp is they have the I'm Third goal. And you know what the I'm Third goal is, don't you? I'm Third is that God first, others second, and myself last. And so they're constantly talking about I'm Third. What I want you to know is, and I love the way, what's his name? Purpose Driven Life, what's his name? What's the pastor's name? Rick Warren. You know how his book begins, The Purpose Driven Life, begins with where perhaps some of us need to begin today. It begins by saying it's not just about you. The quicker you can know that God is first, and he's designed you to have a life of purpose that puts others first, but knowing that when you do that, you're in good hands because there's a Heavenly Father that knows how to take care of you. Matthew says this, why do you worry about these things? Even the Gentiles worry about what you'll wear, what you'll eat. But God, who takes care of the birds of the wild, he feeds them, can also take care of you. The scripture says that if you want to grow, you'll understand and fall in love with God. You'll fall in love with others. And some of us don't need to say fall in love with ourselves. But let me tell you, it's critical that if you're going to grow, you must know yourself. Know your name and know yourself. That's like really weird, isn't it? I think I know me. If you know me in the framework of the first two, you may come to conclusion that you're not all that. You're just not all that. You're not all there is. And growing in the Lord begins by recognizing that God loves you. And it's only by his grace, but it comes by recognizing that I am loved before the Father. I don't know about you. I don't know if some are here today without the blessing of your Father. You've never heard him say, good job. You've never heard him applaud you. He perhaps went to his grave and never said, good job. But there's a Father in heaven who says, I do love you. You know what I love about this passage is that it's not about white fonting, but about very clearly God loving you. We'll close with this. 2 Peter says this, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care of yourself, that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but do what? Grow in the first two. We'll hear how he says it. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Would you stand with me this morning? As we close today, would you simply just reflect for a moment? And would you take inventory on this Father's Day? It could be that what God is calling you to is to ask you, I don't want to be irreverent, but perhaps you would personally receive his resume. That today he is applying to be the perfect father in your life. and you're going to read the resume. It could be that today you would say, you've got the job. You can be my Heavenly Father. Please understand, He's the Father without your vote. But there's something about it, and I know it. When my dad was passing away of lung cancer, I sat next to his bed, and one thing he said is, a day before he passed away, was he said, I just want you to know I'm sorry for not being the perfect dad. You know what that did. I said, I want you to know I'm sorry for not being the perfect son. It wasn't long after, actually, that he passed away. You couldn't give me $1 million for that. Get all your money out of your pockets. Couldn't buy that from me. Today, you don't have to talk to a father that is dead and gone, but a living father who would say to you today, I am perfect and I forgive your imperfection. And you can know me and you can grow in me as you know who I am. It could be that someone today just needs to know his name and know his story. And today you've heard it. On this Father's Day, 2017, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And where you are today, would you receive God's, I hate to say it like this because it sounds so flippant, but His application? Would you allow God to be the Heavenly Father? If you're struggling, go home and learn more about Him. Read your Bible. Listen to others. Then some of us in this room that you've been walking with God a long time, but you're a hater of people, you're a judger of people, you're critical of people. My friends, you're not growing at all. You're not growing. You're stunting your growth and others as well. Could you begin to love and learn why people do what they do? You don't have to be in total agreement. But it may be that you could love them. But it begins with you giving your heart to Him. Father in heaven, thank you, God, for meeting us on this Father's Day. You are our Father. You are the perfect Heavenly Father. We come before you with imperfections and just junk in our life. We bring it to you and we ask you, God, if you would accept this, that we could become not just another servant, but we'd be called your child. Father, we desire to be your children. So, God, we do pray that you would help us to know that. Lord, I pray for anyone in this room that's never accepted you as their Savior, as their Heavenly Father, that they would quit looking at their own earthly father and look to you, that they could know you. We thank you for loving us and meeting us on this Father's Day, in Jesus' name. Hey, let's sing together and we'll close, all right? Would you, Jonathan?